I don't see Aaron. I thought I seen Aaron. There he is. Somebody needs to put something in there. Scared me death. I didn't thought I was shot. We're going to read tonight from the book of Acts, chapter number 4. I thought this would be fitting passage of Scripture before we embark on our trip, besides what all of us are supposed to be doing as church members and as Christians. I had someone call me the other day that's going on a trip, and they said, will there be a time that you will teach us how to do evangelism, soul winning? We've never done that before. That's kind of a shocking thing for somebody to say. We've never done that before. Every one of us that's been saved has something to tell. And a lot of times we make it bigger, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but we make it bigger than it really is. We put too much pressure on ourselves. And I think this passage of Scripture I'll read to you today will kind of prove to you that it's really not anything that you can say. How many of you have come close to getting it out, but you just can't get it out? I see honest hands going up. I don't think there's a person sitting here that would leave here with intent not to tell anybody. I think when preachers preach and a revival happens and evangelists say we need to be busy, I think every one of us feel that. But the problem is it doesn't go from our heart to our mouth. Right? And the reason is because we say what? I don't know what to say. How many say that? I don't know what to say. How many think, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Alright. So, this lesson, when you leave here tonight in a few minutes, you should say, not a problem. Okay? Now, Calvin, you're going to help me tonight because I forgot my glasses. And Sarah tried to give me hers, and they're opposite of what I need. Okay? So, for the sake of the whole story, get the real picture, I want you to start with verse 1 of chapter 4, Calvin. I'll stop you, and then I'll let you read again. I'll do just like I did the kids this afternoon, okay? We'll read a while. I'll stop you. You can stand, sit, do whatever you want to do as we go, okay? Everybody there? Y'all nod amen? All right. Go, Cal.
And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in holds until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard of the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
Okay, pause a minute. This story started in chapter 3. In chapter 3, Peter and John saw a man that was lame. And Peter and John, or Peter especially, began to talk to him, and the lame man was healed. Peter told him, rise up and walk. This lame man walked out of there, okay? Now, the problem with everything that just happened was everybody saw that happen. It wasn't done in private somewhere and the lame guy walked out. Everybody that was around saw it, and there's a pretty good crowd around. Now, the religious leaders, when they heard what had happened, and some of them saw it with their own eyes, the Bible said they laid hands on them. Tell me what you think it meant they laid hands on them. They grabbed them. Did they grab them just to hug them, or did they grab them to hold them against their will? Okay. Now go ahead, Cal. Start verse 5.
And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem.
All right, stop. Who was there? Y'all read the names. Does any of them names sound familiar? Where have you heard those names before? Some of them at Jesus' crucifixion, right? They tried a little Jesus. These are some of the same people that tried Jesus. Now, I want you to get this. Everybody look here and focus a minute. I really never paid attention to this, Brian, until I studied this week a little bit, this passage of Scripture. I've always felt like the world was my enemy. The world was my enemy. The world's the one that wants to stop me preaching the truth. But I'll tell you what you're going to find out, and this is true almost everywhere you go. It's really not the world as much as it is the religious world. The religious world doesn't want to hear our story. It never has, and it never will. The problem in the world today, the reason Jesus got crucified was the religious world didn't like Him saying that He was what? The Son of God. Now Peter and John's done a miracle, and the religious world what? They don't like it either. Because Jesus, it's been done in the name of Jesus. All this religious world keeps hearing is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What makes the Islamic world upset is Jesus, the Son of God. What makes the most of the religious world upset is the name of Jesus. But listen, we have not another name. Everything you and I believe, hold on to, that's why, Brian, we call ourselves Christians. Those who tie themselves to Christ. Christ means what? Savior. So you and I don't tie ourselves to Jesus the prophet, right? We tie ourselves to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Now that makes problems, okay? So that was making problems then. I'll tell you right now, those going to Belize, it will make problems in Belize. We're going to a area that's predominantly Catholic. Some of those areas are not going to teach Jesus the way you and I believe. Some are more hostile than others. You won't be thrown in jail. You won't be threatened. But it's very possible you'll be laughed at about what you believe. So, it's not the... See, the lost world, really what I find from the lost world, I would rather Brother Greg go to a country who's never heard anything as go to a country who's been taught something. Because it's hard to unteach anybody. It is. And it's the same way with us. Some of us that believe like we do, we're so hard-headed, we're not going to believe anything any different. I'm kind of glad we are, though, aren't you? But we're becoming a dying class of people. You look around, you saw still King James. We are. I know we're crazy. You know, you go to the bookstore, it's the highest priced Bible in the bookstore. It's a King James Bible now. Literally the highest price. Some place has got a special order King James. You want that in King James, I can get that for you in 2 days. You want it in the Message, NIV, NASV? Got it over here. Got it in leather, genuine leather. Artificial. Got one that looks like a basketball scheme. What do you want? King James. I want that in King James. I can have it for you in a week. See, that's what's happening in the world today. And little by little, it's going to continue that way. But here's what we got to do. Do we believe these things because our Grandpa Dub and Ida Mae believe that? Or do we believe these because I think this is right? And Peter and John are standing up for what they believe is right because they don't have anybody else to follow but Jesus. Jesus had led them to the Lord. They're kind of first fruits of His crop. And so here they come. They don't have generation after generation after generation to hang on to. All they got is this. So they go and they begin to speak. Okay, Cal. I just want to get who was there.
Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him doth this man stand here before you both.
Okay, stop. I think that's so cool. You know, nobody wants to take the blame for crucifying Jesus. Nobody wants to take the blame. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, he really didn't put the blame on any particular group of people. But he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I can translate that so many different ways. The Romans that were carrying out the torture, "Father, forgive them." Ananias and Caiaphas, "Father, forgive them." Or Stephen Rochelle, 2,000 years later, "Father, forgive them." See, all of us, really, Hannah, were guilty of killing Jesus Christ. See, He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world. But Peter and John wanted to make sure these guys understood it's the same Jesus whom you crucified, who was buried, who rose again from the dead. It's the same one. Now keep reading, Cal. Verse 12, or 11, I guess.
"This is the stone which was set in lock of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
All right, time out. I think this is good again. Verse 11. I could have took you to Psalms and I could have took you to Isaiah and I could have showed you Scripture today where it was foretold that Jesus would come and He would be the cornerstone. And these high priests and these scribes, they taught that their whole life. And when He came, they wouldn't accept Him as the one. This is not Him. He's an imposter. He's a blasphemer. He does everything against what we believe in. Crucify Him. And they did. And now Peter and John are saying, He is the very cornerstone that y'all been teaching about for 6,000 years. It's Him. And He said, "There's no other name given in heaven wherefore men might be saved." Now, you got to look ahead a little bit. And here's what you'll find out. The Jews of today, 2013, do not believe in the Jesus you believe in. He has not come yet. So they're waiting on Him to come. And 2,000 years ago, Peter and John said, "The Jesus that you crucified, He is the Jesus that y'all been looking for all this time." Now, how do y'all think they're doing with this so far? Not real good, are they? Look at the next verse. Cal, read this one. We're getting down almost to where we're going to go home. So hang with me. We're almost there. When we get to the end, we'll be done. Just something to think about.
"Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus."
Okay, stop again. What does it mean that they noticed that these men were ignorant and unlearned men? We're like, duh. What were they?
Uneducated.
These men had not went to the schools that the men questioned them had went to the schools. Okay? They were men, Pharisees and Sadducees. If you ever want to do something for fun, look up a Pharisee. A Pharisee devoted his life to studying and memorizing the Bible. They literally knew by memory books of the Bible. They knew the law. They were like the lawyers of their day, except the law was the Bible. And they knew every increment about the law. But the problem was, Jesus fulfilled the law, and Jesus kind of canceled out the law. Jesus became the law. And Jesus said, "I'm going to take the 10 and I'm going to wrap them up and I'm going to give you 2. And what were the 2? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might. And what? Your neighbor as yourself." So, Jesus stepped in, and he almost kind of put these guys out of the job. Because Jesus starts teaching on grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. And their law was, Greg Carell did this. This is your punishment. You can do it this way, this way, or this way. But all of a sudden now we've got Jesus stepped in. We've got grace. And we've got forgiveness. And boy, these guys didn't like any of that. But remember, these guys had went to school to be trained to teach these things. Now, Peter and John were what? Fishermen. Fishermen. Now I'm thinking back to my days of Belize living. And in Belize, the men of our village were fishermen. Where Shell and I and the family lived. They were fishermen. And when the boys got to be 12 years old, they could quit school and become a fisherman. Now if you do your math, 12 years old was about 5th grade. So most of the boys in our village had a 5th grade education and they were done. And the grown men of our village had the same, a 5th grade education or less, and were done. They were fishermen. They were good at what they did. They could hold their breath. I was with the guy, Brian, held his breath almost 2 minutes without any kind of apparatus. I held mine one time, they timed me. It was like 35 seconds. I come up. Was that 2 minutes? They just left 35 seconds. What? Well, I imagine 2 minutes must have felt like a half a day. But they were trained. They know where to go find lobster. They knew how to... They take a piece of PVC pipe with a piece of inner tube off of a bicycle, and they had a makeshift arrow, and they were going to go spear fish. I was like, well, where's your spear gun? Here's this piece of PVC and a piece of inner tube and a makeshift spear. And boy, they'd go out there in the reef and let that thing go, kill fish that big, bring them back, good eating. But if you ask them any of this stuff here, they didn't know none of that. Peter and John didn't know none of that. But you know what Peter and John had? They had boldness. And I'm going to tell you what will give you boldness. Y'all ready? We're almost ready to go on. What will give you boldness is if you really have what you claim you have. Nothing will give you more confidence than to know that you've got something. If I'm going to an auction, and they're auctioning off a what kind of vehicle? I want a Hummer. I want a Hummer that's a diesel, and it's got to be 6 doors. That's the kind of Hummer I want. I want a white one. So I'm going to the auction to buy this Hummer. Everybody's liking that, right? And I've got $50,000 in my pocket, cash, and the bid's at $30,000. And it's going once, it's going twice, and I say, can I do that with confidence? Why? Because I know I got that covered in the pocket. But when it gets to $75,000, they're looking at me and they're pointing, and I'm thinking, I got 50. Maybe Jason will loan me the other 25. But I'm not sure he will. I see Greg over there in the corner. Let me see if I can, Greg, I don't know if he's seeing what I'm doing. Am I confident? Can I go to that next bid? No. But see, there's a lot of people out there in this world who go to church and they really don't have Jesus. So they're not sure themselves they're going to heaven. Y'all with me? See, Peter and John knew the very worst that could happen to them, Betty, right then and there, is they could get killed and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that could happen to them today is they're going to heaven. That's boldness. But if you're standing there and you don't know if you die today if you go to heaven or not, you're probably not real bold in your answers. Y'all agree with that? Y'all nod. Because I want you to see, they saw boldness. Was it in their voice? Was it how they stood? I think it was in their answers. They didn't have to think about this. Well, let me go home and study this up and I'll give you an answer. You know, the Bible tells you and I to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in us. Always be ready to give an answer. Not an answer was, where did Adam and Eve's boys get their wives from? The Bible also said, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. It ain't none of my business where Cain and Abel got their wives from. I know where Cain Merriman got his fiancée from. She's from California. But I don't know where Cain, Adam's son, got his from. The Bible didn't tell me. Carrie, so I'm not worried about that. But a lot of people come up and say, preacher, you're a preacher, aren't you? Well, tell me where Adam's boys got their wives from. Maybe that's a good question. When you get there, you find that out for me. Well, I'm asking you, you're a preacher. See, I got confidence in that I know I'm going to heaven. I got confidence in how I'm going to heaven. I've got confidence in a lot of things like that. But some things I really don't. And Peter and John were not going into the theology, Brian, of the law. They had bogus about one thing. They're talking about Jesus, and we know Him. We spent 3 years with Him. I've seen Him day and night for 3 years. I know Jesus. Now look at this. Let's go, Cal. We're almost there. My goal is verse 20, by the way. We'll just keep going till we get there.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.
Okay, you don't even have to sit on this. This is a short commentary. What was the problem that these religious leaders were seeing now? They're seeing a problem. And what's starting to happen? Yeah. Everybody's starting to believe it. And you know what they said? They couldn't deny it happened. So the idea is, we're going to lose this bunch of people over to this Christianity if we don't do what? Huh? Thank you, Rochelle. We got to make these people shut up.
Aren't you glad to see a bunch of people here tonight? Start to preach. Did you know what's happening in the world right now? The same thing that was happening to Peter is what the world's doing to us today. If they can get us to shut up, just keep quiet. Because if we keep going, and people's lives keep getting changed, and people quit drugs, or quit alcohol, marriages come back together, you know what people's going to start saying? There must be something to that. Because I've known Kim for a long time. But I don't know this Kim. And I've known Hannah for a while, but I don't know this Hannah. And I've been letting Brett Whitty haul my junk cars for several years, but I don't know this Brett Whitty. Now, if you can keep us quiet, we won't affect anything. Who knew this? The world or the religious leaders? I'm just asking you all. It's religious leaders. If you go to Washington and you find out who's fighting against us, you'll find out it's not really the atheists as much as it does with religions. Because they're afraid that our way is going to conquer their way.
Right.
And I have news for you. We will. God's way will. I'm hoping ours is God's way. I'm trying as a preacher to study. And if I find out we're not doing God's way, I'm going to go someplace else. I'm just letting y'all in on that, okay?
I'm more about God's way than I am anything. But here's what I know. This group of people, we got to figure out a way to keep them quiet. Because 3,000 people believed the other day. This guy starts walking around, 5,000 people believe now. You know what? This thing could explode on us. Calvin.
But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
Stop. Because 20 is my last verse, and I got about 6 minutes left. I don't want y'all to be shortchanged. I'm reading this yesterday, reading a little bit of it today. And I read verse 17 and 18, and I start thinking about 1960s when they decided to take the Bible out of school. And they started trying to tell us that we can't say that. And you know what we did? We listened to them. We did. Now, I'm going to show a shocker to you. And Trenton is aware of this very much so. He can take a Bible to school. And he is allowed to share the gospel at school. Am I right, Trenton? You could nod. Trenton's going to a new school this coming fall. And the question he's talking to us today about was, because on Wednesday night, he won't be here. So he says, maybe I need to do a Bible study there. If I can't find a church somewhere to go to, maybe I can have a Bible study. And he says, student-led Bible studies are allowed. It's not against the school rule to take your Bible to school. Now, Brother Steve, I think you're wrong on that. Trust me. When you're in jail, you call me and I'll come and I'll help you get out. I'm right, Anna Julie. I am totally right. Now, Brother Steve ain't going to walk in and start preaching in the cafeteria passing out Bibles. But I'll tell you this, we passed out 500 Bibles one year at Gary County. Mount Hebron bought the Bibles, and we wasn't allowed as adults to walk in, but the kids from Mount Hebron Church stood in the hallways with open boxes and passed out, and one kid refused the Bible. I know what you're thinking. We've been told we can't do things, but there's really not laws that say we can't. There's laws that say you can't do this. We just said, phew, I'm glad we can't have Bible in school now. Don't have to worry about that. That's good, wasn't it, Sarah? You liked that, didn't you? I'm telling y'all the truth. Now, if you want to go home and read something, I'm 2 minutes away from quitting. Read Romans 13. God teaches us that we are to obey His laws over the world's laws. It's true. It really is. Romans 13 is right there. And you and I are supposed to obey God. And so, listen to the answer finally, Calvin. I've got you there. Verse 20. This is Peter and Paul. This is Peter and John's answer to, you all need to shut up.
For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
What about that? Now listen, Belize travelers. You don't have to know the Romans Road. They didn't know the Romans Road. It hadn't been written yet. Right?
That's correct.
But can you hear Peter's story? I was cleaning my net one day. He come walking up along the seashore. Said, come follow me. And I was like, I ain't in no good fish. I want to see what's up with this guy. So I started following him. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm getting my brother to come with us and follow. Hey, come follow him. We followed him all day that day. We saw some amazing things. And you know what? He came by a few weeks later and said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And we left our nets, and we went with him for quite a while. And one day we were fishing. I remember it quite well. We fished all night, hadn't caught anything. And the next morning we were there cleaning our nets out, and Jesus showed up, and he got in my boat, and had me go out a little bit from the shore. And he sat there and taught the people. And then he said, lay me out there into the deep water. And I looked at Jesus and I thought, we fished all last night and we didn't do any good, but whatever you say, we'll do. And we went out there and we cast our net overboard. And we got so many fish, I had to get John's boat over and got another boy's boat over. And all our boats about sunk.
And I realized real quick that this Jesus ain't just a normal Jesus. He's the Son of God. And when we got back to shore, I pulled my boat out of the water, and I've been following Him ever since. Now, I had a little pause in my life because I denied the Lord, but you know what? He forgave me of that, and He told me how my life would end one day, and He told me that all I got to do is just go and feed His sheep. And I tell you what, I don't know much about Leviticus. I probably can't even spell it. I can tell you today that Jesus saved my life. And I was just a fisherman, and I know I was going to hell, but now I'm a fisherman going to heaven. And I, you know what? I can't quit talking about it. I'm just going to have to talk about it, and y'all got to do whatever you got to do. And you know what? You know what happened? You read the rest of the story? They just left them alone because they knew they couldn't do nothing with them. Can I tell you something? That's all we're supposed to do when we walk out of this church tonight. It's not speak about things that we don't really understand, but just talk about stuff you know. When I first started preaching, I got all these commentaries. I got boxes of books for Eddie. When your family came, they gave me all the books that were your brother's after he had passed away. And I've got books everywhere. And Brother Greg, I read some of the books, and I didn't understand them. And one time I tried to preach some stuff out of one of them, and I think everybody figured out pretty quick that he don't have a clue what he's talking about. So I learned real quick, I don't talk about stuff I know. That's why the preacher, I keep waiting on a new message. I don't know much. But the stuff I know, I like talking about. And every once in a while, He teaches me something new, and I get it, Julia. You know, because of my ADHD and everything. And all of a sudden, this thing is kids are like, I got that. And I can't wait to get here and tell you all. And some of them are like, I already knew that. But some of them are like, that is so cool, I just got that too. But tell what you got. And together we learn. Isn't it cool? I don't want to talk about stuff I don't know, because I don't have confidence in that. I can be right here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I told one of the kids at the altar at camp last week, I said, if a mediator fell from the sky and just killed us all, she's looking at me like, really? I said, where would you go? She said, I guess I'd go to hell. I said, I would not go to heaven because I'm saved. And she said, I want to get saved. And I don't know if she left there thinking me either going to fall on the building or what, but I'm just like that. I just think, you know, no matter what happens tonight, tomorrow, I know where I'm going. It's not a problem. I'm confident in that one thing I know. I like how Paul told Timothy, and I'm 1 minute older. Well, this will go by rain. You tell him he's got to shut down a little early. Paul said, I know the Timothy. I know whom I have believed. And persuaded, I'm confident that He is able to keep that which I commit. What did Paul commit to Jesus? What's the most important thing you got, Mona, that you want to commit to Jesus to take care of? I care to see it. Your life, your soul. Paul says, I know whom I believe, I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What day? The day I die or the day the trumpet sounds. Whichever one comes first. The Lord's got my soul. That's the word for Rochelle and I. If we make it to 60, it will be a miracle. We lose everything. And we write notes, so we got to, when we go to town, we can do the stuff we got to do, and we lose the notepad. And sometimes I'm sitting on it or I've got it in my pocket. I said, have you seen the note? And she reached over and grabbed it out of there. But she ain't no better. And that's who we are at 50. I don't know if 60 will even make it or not. But with my soul, I'm glad I've made. I'm not responsible to keep it. I lost my phone long ago. Sarah's calling and it's on vibrate. That's how how I did my soul, probably. Well, I lost my soul again, friend. Have you seen my soul? But you know where my soul is. According to John 10:28, he put it in the Father's hand. And he said, Cain, no one's able to pluck you from the Father's hand. I can't lose it because he's God. Did you go home on that one? I almost felt something on that. I don't know if we're or something. All right, let's stand and pray. They got boldness tonight.